Shall we read, please, in the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the verse I want to draw your attention to, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now we trust the Lord will bless what we have been privileged to hear with this scripture that we have read together. We have been reminded this morning from the epistle to the Hebrews in relation to a pattern. God gave Moses a pattern for the tabernacle. He was told to build it and make it according to the pattern. God has given us a pattern for a New Testament church in the book of the Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. There are seven things that are mentioned. They that gladly received his word, that's salvation. Then they were baptized. Then they were added to something, added to a company, called out, called by God. And these who were saved, about 3,000, they were added. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's a pattern for the assembly of God. Then we have read here from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I would like to speak on a pattern believer. Paul was saved for a specific purpose. Every one of us gathered this afternoon, we have been saved for a specific purpose. We know that John the Baptist appeared upon this scene for one purpose, and that was to point out the Lamb of God. God called Abram, from Ur of the Chaldees. God had a specific purpose in calling Abraham. That is, that he might make of him a great nation. God preserved Moses for a specific purpose. To lead Israel from the bondage in Egypt. And God has saved you and I for a specific purpose. That has placed us here in this world. We are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Now we have read of Paul. He was a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes you in. That takes me in. Now I would just like this afternoon to speak on something that Paul is a pattern for you and I today. I would like to speak on some vitamin C. They say it's good for the cold. The first thing I would like you to think of, Paul had a pattern conversion. Then he was patterned in his conviction after he got salvation. Then he's a pattern to us in his consecration. That is, his hands were full for God. Not for himself, but for God. And there's some others that, if we have time to look at. But I would like to speak first on these, a pattern conversion. That is, he had a time when he had a place where, and he had a manner how, in which he received Christ as his personal Savior. He could look back to a definite moment in his life when the great transaction took place. We were amazed just this past summer by how many people that we met. Well, they said, we believe what you preach, but one thing. We have always believed the Bible. We have always sought to obey what the Word of God has said. But yet we cannot look back to that moment when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We were always saved. Now that is not in accordance with the Word of God. Paul had a pattern conversion. He could look back to a time around midday. He could look back to the place, the Damascus Road. He could look back to that experience when the Lord Jesus says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. There was a revealing to his soul of the wondrous person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had a time when, a place where, and a manner how, that he got God's salvation. Let me ask you kindly, can you look back to a definite time? You see, salvation, that's something that you slide into. It's not a process of events. Salvation is instantaneous. The moment a poor, hell-bound sinner rests upon the finished work of the cross for his salvation. Mr. Hull and I had meetings in Sydney and Nova Scotia a number of years ago. We were asked to visit an old sister, a Mrs. Lonas. And one afternoon we went to the rest home or the senior citizen's place where she was. We went and we got in touch with the administrator and we said we would like to see Mrs. Lonas. She says, who are you? We gave her our names and told her that we were preaching the gospel in the Sydney Gospel Hall. She says, follow me. We went upstairs into a little room. There sat a dear sister in the bed, propped by pillows around her, very frail in body. But the administrator said to her, she says, Mrs. Lonas, there's two men from the gospel hall. They're preaching the gospel. They have come to see you. I remember yet, with her long, thin fingers, putting the administrator aside. She pointed to me blankly and said, young man, are you saved? The administrator said, now, Mrs. Lonas, these men are preaching the gospel in the Sydney Gospel Hall. That's not the way to heaven. A person that's saved is a time when they have a place where and in a manner how that they got God's salvation. I said, yes, Mrs. Lonas, thank God, I'm saved. She pointed the same to Mr. Hull. She says, young man, are you saved? Well, we were young in those days. He said, yes, Mrs. Lonas, thank God, I'm saved. The administrator, she left. I told Mrs. Lonas how I got saved. Mr. Hull told her how he got saved. Then came back that finger. She says, young man, are you sure? I said, yes, Mrs. Lonas. Thank God I'm sure. I'm saved. She asked Mr. Hull the same question. But then she said something that I want you to get this afternoon. She says, you know, I have been saved for 84 years. I was saved as a girl of 11. And I have seen many changes in my day. I have heard people say that they were saved. But mind you, they didn't prove they were saved. She says, young man, are you sure that you are saved? Paul had a pattern conversion. He could look back to a definite moment whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to him as his own and personal Savior. It's a real thing to be saved. And it's a real thing to know it. And it's a real thing to show it. as well. Paul was a pattern in his convictions. Acts chapter 9, after the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to him, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You know, sometimes we have heard people say, what I'm going to do for the Lord. That's not Paul. The man who was a pattern said, he surrendered to the Lord. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he willingly cast himself on the independence upon what the Lord desired for him to do. Is there anything that the Lord desires for you and I to do? Have we got convictions about it? When a person gets saved, what do we teach them? Baptism by immersion in water. That's the next thing, a step in the right direction in relation to obedience to the Word of God. Convictions. Paul had convictions after his conversion. And he surrendered to God to lay his all upon the altar. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Many one has paid a great price. Our brother mentioned this morning, in relation to persecution, those of us who were raised in Christian homes, cradled in the songs of Zion, thank God for it. But we have not received the persecution that many have had in their life after they got salvation. Their convictions taught them the truth of baptism, and it cost many one a lot to be baptized. Yet for some of us, why, we just took it in our stride. I sat under the ministry of the Word of God for 21 years before I was saved. I knew the truth of baptism before I got salvation. I had seen many one baptized. I had heard read from Acts chapter 8. They went down, both of them, into the water. And Philip baptized the eunuch. Well, I had seen all that. I was just in my way. And after I got salvation, I read the book of the Acts. And a number of times I read that those who got saved, then they were baptized. Obedience to the Word of God. But I think of a dear man that used to preach in Ireland. I heard him preach when he was over 90 years of age. But as he was a young lad of 15, God had saved him. He took ill. He lay in a sick bed. Lying in that sick bed, he began to read the scriptures. The truth of believers' baptism gripped his soul. He had convictions about baptism. He wanted to obey the Lord. Let me pause a moment. Is that the longing of your heart today? Is that the longing of my soul? To obey the Lord? To please Him who hath chosen me and you to be soldiers? Well, he called for the brethren. This man's parents were not in the assembly, but this man had got saved. There's some here today will remember him, William Gilmer. He asked the brethren to call, see him. He told them his convictions. I want to obey the Word of God. I want to get baptized. But they said, Willie, you're sick. But he says the Word of God desires, teaches me, that I should be baptized. Oh, would that God's Word would grip our hearts just like that, that we may seek to put into practice that which He reveals to us in His Word. A day was arranged, a Saturday, that William Gilmer might be baptized. It does not too often snow in Ireland, but on this particular Saturday, there was a snowstorm. The brethren thought, well, we should cancel the baptism. But then they said, well, we'll see what Willie says. They went to see William Gilmore. He says, I want to be baptized today. This is the day that was set aside for my baptism. He got up out of a sick bed as a boy of 15. What for? To obey the word of God. Ah, he had convictions. He wanted to please the Lord. He put the Lord first. And you see, in your life and mine, it's either the Lord first or it's me first. Who is it? Neighbor said, there goes that silly fellow to his death, getting baptized in a day like this. The brethren went and they baptized him. William Gilmore did not go back to that sick bed. What happened? Was there healing in the water? It was in Ballyhome Bay. It was salt water he was baptized in. But he never went back to the sick bed. And I heard him preach when he was over 90 years of age. Why? Ah, the dear man had convictions. God says, them that honor me, I will honor. Many believers wonder why God doesn't bless me. Do I honor God? Do you? What's God's promise? Them that honor me, God says, I will honor. If we put God first, all things may seem to go against us for a while, but we'll come out on top on the end. Saul of Tarsus, he had convictions. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then we think of, he was a pattern in his consecration. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His hands were full. His whole life was live for God. That's what consecration means. Having the hands full. Not full from self. His hands were full for God and the things of God. Consecration. We sing at times, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. And so we may consecrate ourselves to God. He says that the Lord may be magnified in my body. His desire was, as he lived his life, not for himself, but for God and the things of God. And then he was also a pattern in his compassion. Paul had a love for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He was willing to spend and be spent to see people born again, born into God's family through the preaching of the gospel. Oh, the compassion. He shed tears night and day for the souls of men and women. A real longing for their blessing and their salvation. How do I fit in? Have I got a compassion in my soul for fellow travelers to eternity? Those who travel 24 hours a day over a pit without a bottom, have I got compassion in my heart for them? Or would I be willing to spend and be spent that they might be saved? I've just referred to my dad. From I was a boy of 9 until I was 21 years of age till I got saved, I never went to bed once without my dad getting down by my side and asking God to save me. Now I, as a boy, that was all right. But when I became a teenager, upper teens, I didn't like that. But still, in respect to him and my mother, I got down by his side while he mentioned my name at the throne of grace. I didn't want him to do that then, but I can thank God today that he did it. Oftentimes, I came home under the influence of drink. In the early hours of the morning, coming into a little village where there's a row of houses, 24 houses in the first row, all joined together. There was only one light in all those houses. The boys used to say, Bingham, the old man's waiting up for you. I says, no, you just leave the light on so that I won't stumble on the way in. But I knew the sight I would see when I went into that little house. I got down beside my dad, many a night under the influence of liquor. He had prayed and was finished, and I was still on my knees. Some nights I was up and gone before he had finished. He told me afterwards, he said, you know, many a time I wondered, is it worthwhile? What's the use? Have you got someone you become passionate for? Someone in your heart that you love? That you long to see saved? You see, salvation is very simple, but it's not easy. Laboring in prayer. Do we know anything about it? Do I know anything about it? Not just a matter of saying words, putting sentences together, but a burden of soul. Oh, the compassion of the pattern man. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We trust, as the gospel has gone forth, and Lord willing will go forth, here in Victoria Drive, in Arlington, Dawson Creek, and across this vast country, oh, may there be a compassion in your soul and my soul for the souls of fellow travelers to eternity. What a tragedy it is whenever a soul lands in the everlasting burnings. Oh, may God help us to have a compassion for souls. Then we see, as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he was a pattern in relation to the company that he kept. He didn't go everywhere. It says he joined himself to the disciples. He sought to walk amongst them and walk in fellowship with them. And he was in company. And when you're in company with fellow believers, like-minded, Paul says he had no man like-minded. Like-mindedness in the things of God. There's harmony. There's partnership. There's fellowship. There's a striving together. Paul chose his company. Now, he sought out souls. That was his aim. Not to go along with them, but to tell them of a Savior. One who died upon the cross, who could change their lives, as the Lord had changed his, and made a great change in it, for the glory of God. His company. He associated himself with the saints gathered unto the Lord's name. Then we think of his contentment. Philippians chapter 4, he says, I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now as we read his life, especially 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the many things that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul, shipwrecked 3 times, stoned, left for dead, beaten with many stripes, so much that he endured. What for? For the sake of the gospel, for his love for souls. In the prison at Philippi, with their backs bleeding, cast into the inner prison, their feet made fast in the stocks, as uncomfortable as that jailer could make them. Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God. Many a time we may wonder, what did he pray for? Do you think he prayed for the salvation of the jailer? Those who put them in there? Well, they prayed, and they sang praises unto God. And the Lord heard them and answered their prayers. The jailer and his whole household, they got God's salvation. But there he was, content. He says, I have learned. He didn't learn it overnight. He learned it by experience. You and I learn by experience. But he learned to be content. Do you ever meet a contented person? They make you feel comfortable in their presence, those that are content. There's others, they're never content. I asked a dear sister in Nova Scotia one time, I says, how are you today? She says, have you got an hour? I says, no, I don't. Contentment. Paul learned to be content. Then we see his consistency. Paul had a good start. He went well. And he finished well. You know, it's a great thing in the life of a believer. We have stood at the graveside of young men and young women. And we have wondered, why did the Lord take this believer? They were so useful and so needful. And yet there they are. Why? We have often asked ourselves the question. Well, when the race is run, when John the Baptist had fulfilled his course, he was beheaded. You say, what an awful way to go. Yes, but yet, John's work was finished. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, whenever we have come and finished our course, Paul at the end of his life, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is that your desire this afternoon? Is that mine? That we may finish well. Far better to finish early than to finish late with disgrace, bringing in his honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was consistent. He was a pattern in his consistency. He had a good start. He went well. And thank God, he finished well. As we have looked at some of those young believers, they finished well. They finished their course. May the Lord help us that you and I may finish our course. We could speak of his courage. Paul was a pattern in his courage. Why, he fought with beasts at Ephesus. That's not animals. That was men. Against the gospel, against the things of God. But he had courage to go on for God. Now these are some of the things, vitamin C's, that Paul was a pattern to us for. May we be able to say with him, at the end of our little journey, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. May the Lord help us for his glory.